The other day, we got a chance to introduce you to Reginald F. Lewis through his friend Lynn Hart. On today's episode, we're going to break down some more of those attributes to get you to know him on a deeper level and go a little bit further in this second part interview. You're going to love this one. Hey, everyone. Welcome to Selling in Color. My name is Donald Kelly, the sales evangelist, and I'm so excited for another great episode. I'm so excited to have you here today. And on this episode, we're going to be talking with Mr. Lynn Hart for the second part of this interview, talking about his good friend, Mr. Reginald F. Lewis, and to get a chance to understand who Reginald was before he got to the successful fame and the accomplishments that he had. For those who are joining us for this series and you didn't get a chance to listen to part one, I want you to go back and listen to that. Reginald was the richest black man in the world. He created a $1 billion company, TLC Beatrice International Holdings, and that was back in the 80s, and he was on track to do some amazing things. Unfortunately, sadly, he passed away in 1993, and who knows what great things he could have accomplished. Our goal is to be able to make sure his legacy continues, that we never forget, and also look for ways how we can continue that legacy and to create things like this, like what Reginald was doing. I want you guys to be able to take at least one thing and apply this. If this is your first time listening to our podcast or watching one of our videos, I ask you to go ahead and subscribe. I want to make sure that you get notified every time we have an episode coming up. I won't hold you back. Let's pick up from where we left off from part one. I mean, what do you want readers to this book to gain from it?
Well, there's several things that I'd like to achieve. One is the important task of telling the rest of the story. If you follow Reginald Lewis's life, you'll know that he entered into Harvard Law School, graduated, and went on to start his own law firm, and then later became a businessman. And for many people, that is the story. You know, they hear the part about Harvard, and, you know, it's like he just showed up on the doorstep there, and there was no other preparation. The reason for writing this book is to put the rest of the story into context. That is that he was a guy that came from an inner city background. His mother was a very significant force in his life. He came from very little means, not a lot of money. He was not the super student that normally people think about. He had to work hard for every good grade he got, and sometimes there weren't good grades. But he overcame all that. And also the fact that he came from an HBCU. Now, some people might say, well, is that important? I think it is. The historically black college provided the underpinnings for this man's career. And as I like to tell people, it was the bridge to the rest of his life. And so that part of the story, I didn't feel had been addressed. And so all those components that I just described, I wanted to get that out there. And there are other people who said, you better do it quickly because most of the people around them, some of them are not around and some of them may not be around a whole lot longer. So why don't you go ahead and tell the story? And the other part of that is that Reginald Lewis, if you do the history on him, was a very, very private guy. Most people he went to school with didn't even know he was there. He was very, very much a behind-the-scenes guy when he was doing his business. So there aren't a lot of people that have the insights that I think I have about the personal makeup of this man. And so that's what my book is about. My book is about the makeup of the man and less about the making of the money.
More about the making of the individual. And I appreciate that. What's some of the main things that you as an individual, after studying, reminiscing more about those 10 years, was able to grasp that helped change or enhance your life?
Well, I think one of the most important things is this question of who are your friends and what are they all about? My friends come from a kind of a mixed bag. As I said, I grew up in the city of Baltimore, and so I had friends across the spectrum, guys who were not so honorable, guys who worked hard, guys who were exceptional. But I found out that when I aligned myself with people who were trying to achieve something, that there were rewards in that for me. And that may not play well for everybody, but that's just my take on it. Sometimes the people you surround yourself with have a lot to do with how you turn out. The other thing is that just observing Reginald, and not just Reginald, there are other people I could be talking about here, but not many as successful as Reg, but still people successful in their own way. They weren't rich, but they did other things. But the fact that there is no straight line to success. I mean, I've looked at stories of people who've been successful, and rarely have I found someone who didn't have to overcome some obstacles and get over some hills and some bumps and disappointments. And Reginald had his share of those. And so I think And along with that is this thing I talked about earlier about the sustainable belief. And finally, I think, and this may be one of the most important things, is the fact that people have to understand when there's a need to change direction, change your plan, you know, make a Kentucky Windage kind of adjustment. Because of this fact, there's no straight line. But the problem for a lot of people is that people are reluctant to deal with change because they're fearful of what outcomes may come after those changes. But I've accepted the fact, and when I was speaking, this is what I spoke on a great deal, and my experiences in AT&T and the monopoly system that evolved into something bigger and greater over time is that change is difficult and it is never free. What I mean by that is that if you think about the resources that a person brings to their job, whether that's a salesperson or whether that's a businessman, another line of work, you know, selling a medical profession, whatever, you only have certain things that you can invest in, your time, your capital, and your money, or just the three to come out. But when you make significant changes in your life or in your business or your game plan, rarely will you not have to expend some of those. And so getting over the hurdle of dealing with the fact that change is difficult and that it's not free sort of frees you up to make the kind of big gains, the kind of big wins that people look for. I think Reginald understood that. And as I said, I think I grew to understand that from my life too, that there are times when you have to make big changes because they're necessary. And sometimes they're not big, they're just small changes, but you can't be afraid to do that because they're, you know, that's part of the equation to success, I believe.
I like it. Because that ties right into one of the next part I wanted to hit on was about those failures. Now, we heard how Reginald was able to overcome some of those failures. He had this, he found that his passion and drive, he had that vision, he had that goal. How could you position that today, maybe for someone who's listening, who is in the thick of the mess? Maybe they're in a dead-end job, or they're, you know, not seeing the sales come in, or they're a business owner and the company looks like it's not going anywhere, or just a student listening to this and don't know if they could ever accomplish the success. Is there a formula to look past those failures and overcome those failures?
Well, I don't know what I'd call a formula. Maybe it's just a way of thinking, but I've always subscribed to this, and that is that I believe, and it goes back to this word I use really about passion, how do you find your passion? And I've always found that I was most successful when I found something that I love doing so much. I really love doing it, that I was willing to do it for free, except I was charged with finding a way to get paid for it. I found that in my darkest hour, and I was trying to figure out what I needed to do, whether it was a job, a career, a direction, I tried to make sure that whatever I was doing was going to take me in a direction of something that I could feel good about, something that I felt that, I won't say, you know, that it was like a sugar high or anything, but I did feel like I was doing meaningful work. I was proud to do it and I felt good about it. So a lot of times when people are dealing with their successes or their failures, the real question is, are you in the right game? Are you where you should be? And oftentimes people are in places that they're not, that they were there not because it was their choice, but because they were either looking at the career for just the money, looking at it for just the adulation that might come from people who would say, look, you're whatever, you're a lawyer, a doctor, whatever, when they really didn't want nor belong there. So my advice, whether it's a success or whether it's a failure overcoming, do some self-analysis and ask yourself, am I really doing what I could be good at? Am I really doing what I would enjoy doing? And let that be the first place you start, because it can help. Now, there are other kind of times when people are actually involved in areas where they belong. I mean, they have tools, they have the ability to do it. And I think then it's important to do something that I've referred to in my story of Reginald Lewis, what I call the deep dive. And the deep dive is understanding your business at a granular level as opposed to a surface level. Because sometimes people are in the right place, they're floundering, they're not succeeding at the level they want to, but they haven't really invested the time to understand their business, to do that deep dive. And there's a quote in my book where I refer to it, and that is that the geniuses understand something that most of us take a long while to get at, and that is that granular understanding and appreciating the fact that details do matter sometimes is the missing ingredient for a lot of people who are struggling. It takes a lot of work to understand your business, your customer, understand, you know, how to run it. And that requires a deep dive, which is something that Reginald Lewis is very, very willing to do, to go deep in his understanding of every component of the business, products, services, distribution, whatever it took.
So just get into that facet. That's the commonly heard sayings that the devil is in the details. It's really understanding the details.
Yeah, details do matter. I mean, you can be brilliant. If you don't have a command of the details, chances are you're going to misstep someplace. And that doesn't mean you have to become mired in detail, but you do need to have a deep understanding of what it is you're trying to do. And I think Red Zone's a great example because I said several times already, from an academic standpoint, he was not the brightest guy in the camp. And I should say it this way. He didn't have the best grades.
Yeah.
And that's pretty well understood. Most people know that about him. And I'm not saying he was a middle genius, but what he was willing to do was to invest more time, more effort in understanding the level of detail that was required to put together a successful venture. Most people aren't willing to do that. I refer to that as a deep dive. Most people aren't willing to do that.
I think that's where you hit on. And I think when you said most people are not willing to do that, especially in our day, where so I say we are, because I think I'm a part of this generation where we're the instant gratification. If I can get it on Google really quick or get a quick snap of it, then I'm good. But it's that true understanding, that genuine knowledge of details, and that separate the good from the great. You know, you can always be good, but you know, to be great, it's someone who goes above and beyond. And from what you share about the story of Reginald, I think that's something that that's powerful. And one of the stories I learned about Reginald was when he was a lawyer, he took on a case. I believe that was a controversial case, civil rights movement. Uh-huh. They figure out a way to pay. Was it a bond? Maybe you can help me with the story. But instead of putting up cash, he found a way to utilize some, I didn't know if it was some kind of securities or some other interest. And I thought it was like really, really cool. Like, how would you think of that? And maybe you can fill in the details for me.
I recall briefly, and I'm trying to think of it was a young black pastor who later became the head of the NAACP, and it'll come to me after we're all done here. But you know, he had a problem down there, and what Reggie did went down to represent him, and he cut a deal so that, you know, the financing of the guy's bond was paid for by the financial arrangements that he had put in place. And Reginald always thought of that as one of his really, really neat things that he's done. And there's actually, in his book, his autobiography is entitled Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? That story is detailed in there. And there's also a video out that depicts Reginald with that Cheshire Cat grin. I call it the gap tooth grin of his after he had concluded that. But knowing your details does something else for you, too. It can make you supremely confident. I think a lot of people show their lack of understanding of what they're doing, and it comes through in the business that they're doing. I think you can sell a product, you can sell a service, but before you do anything, you kind of have to sell yourself. And if you're not sure, uncertain of what you're doing, and don't have a command of your facts, that causes people to look at you a certain way. And Reginald understood that. You could sit there and be supremely confident and knowing that I know more about this than anybody in the room. And that was one of the great things about being a speaker. I always thought, people said, how can you get on the stage and not be nervous? Well, I was supremely confident that since I was talking about my life and my own life's experiences, that I was the most knowledgeable person about the topic in the room. So why wouldn't I be confident? So, and even knowing my own life meant doing some detail and some background, but I always felt that, you know, what I'm talking about, I lived this experience. And so therefore I should be confident enough to deliver it. And Reginald was that way. You know, I mean, and I would add this to this part of the discussion too. Something that my observation and from our conversations back in the day and even when we were roommates, we talked about this kind of stuff, but it sort of played itself out in both of our lives. I would say probably more dramatically in his and mine. And that is this, the fact that the most impactful limitations you will face will be the ones you will place on yourself. A lot of people had issues with Reginald Lewis because he didn't like his business to be described as a black business. And that caused him he took some grief over that. He didn't take grief, but he took some criticism over that. But I understood what that was about because I started working in the corporate world back in the late 60s, and I knew that achievements could be disparaged or denigrated by just putting a label on them. And people would make judgments based on the label. And in my situation, I never, you know, felt bad or somehow less than adequate about my race, but I did sense that there were people who would quantify and use certain terms. And that would put limitations on you psychologically if you allowed that to happen. And so it was clear early on, and I think we both agree with this, and that is the most impactful limitations we face are the ones we put on ourselves. So, you know, we need to be thinking about that too.
I like it. The most impactful limitations are the one we put on ourselves.
Yeah, you can put my name next to that as my quote.
I am writing it down right now.
This is the way I would say it. The most impactful limitations you will ever face will be the ones that you will place on yourself. And that's just a belief I have.
All right. And that's recorded. So we hear that.
Okay. All right.
Well, we had a great discussion so far. I wanted to wrap up. I don't want to take up all your time tonight. But one of the things I would like to get from you is, what's the one thing you'd like a sales professional or business owner or someone listening to this podcast to take today from Reginald's story or from the message you share and apply?
Well, that's something I've said already, and that is that, and I didn't say it this way, but I think the intent was the same. Before you start selling stuff, you have to realize that you have to sell yourself. Every purchase I've ever made began with the rapport, at least my thoughts about the person who was trying to service me. If that didn't come off right, it was very difficult for us to take the next step. And I think this sort of capsulizes, Reginald was a great relationship builder. He was a guy who was a charmer in many ways. And I will say this in complete disclosure and fair disclosure, Reginald Lewis could be a difficult guy to be around. There were a number of people who knew him who found him to be too hard charging and highly opinionated, but that was his makeup. I mean, I think over time, what he became to a lot of people was someone that you couldn't deal with unless you knew what you were talking about. And so people who didn't had some difficulty with him because he would challenge you. He would, his opinion is very opinionated. And I've always felt that the reason we got along so well, because some of those qualities I possessed as well. I mean, I was highly opinionated. We had a lot of arguments, by the way. If you read that book, you'll find out that there were times when our room was on fire, man. I mean, it was like, but when it was all over, we had what I always referred to as a productive conversation. When it was over, and we went off and we did something as friends. So yeah. I think, again, this notion about understanding that the things, the limitation we place on ourselves are the ones that are probably going to limit us the most.
I appreciate that. Thanks for sharing that with us today. Now, one of the things I'd like to learn from you is, what are some of the things you're working on right now?
Well, I'm at a very interesting place in my life. I mean, I'm not a youngster. I've been around for quite a while, and I had a long run working for AT&T, and I left them to start a company of my own, which I talked about earlier. And I'm moving this change process that we're talking about. I went from traveling the country as a professional speaker, and then later on branching out into executive coaching. And one of my most successful clients, and I'm going to give him a little pub here, is my very first coaching client was a gentleman by the name of James White, a young African American businessman, worked for Nestle Purina Pet Care. Today, he's the chairman and CEO of Jamba Juice. And so if anybody's out there drinking Jamba Juice, that's James White, our first coaching client. So coaching from there, and then this notion of writing. I think this is where I've moved to now. And I have at least one more book. I've written one, published two, and I'll probably have another one to do. So I've settled into writing right now.
That's pretty awesome. I'll put that in the show notes about the book. And where can listeners get access to that book? I saw it was on Amazon.
Yeah, you can get the book anywhere that their books sold. It's in a digital version. It's on a paperback version. I think the best place is Amazon.com. You can get it on the Apple Bookstore and even Google Play, the Google Play where you download your apps. You can actually get a digital copy of it from Google Play. And I've tried to price the book so it'd be available to anybody, especially young people. I wrote this book with the intent that young people as well as older people would pick it up and read it. And there's certain things in there that are directed solely to young men to kind of think about in today's world that may be applicable, more applicable.
Well, I love it. I think the fact that this could have been a story that in 10, 20 years, the world probably just didn't know a lot about. But the fact that it's historic, you have this book there, it's powerful. And for me, I share my ignorance. Before I found you on Twitter, I did not know much about the story of Reginald, and it resonated with me, and my friends probably will share the same thing. You know, I always, I forget about the moon. I shoot for the stars. So
yeah, Donald, it's so appropriate to hear you say it because you sound like the kind of person that I would hope would pick up a copy of the book. And I need to say this as well. I have, as you already alluded to, I have a Facebook page and Twitter that we use to get out the word on the book. And And for those who are on Facebook, my Facebook handle is LinSr24. That's LinSr24. And if you're on Twitter, you can hook up with me on Twitter, and that it's at LHA Cafe. That's LHACAFE. And I welcome all of your listeners, and I do answer back, follow back, and I'm trying to get the word out on this incredible individual in a way that everyone can appreciate what he achieved and maybe find some meaning in it for themselves.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks so much for that. And you did share the best way to get in touch with you is Twitter or Facebook. So,
right.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time tonight.
My pleasure, darling. Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mr. Lin Hart speaking on behalf and talking to us and helping us to get a chance to introducing us to his friend, Mr. Reginald F. Lewis, and who he was and some of the great things that he was able to accomplish and the character that he had. And just like this individual and how he became the individual that he became. And I want us to make sure that we don't forget him. We get a chance to learn about him. I want you to check out his book that he wrote on Reginald F. Lewis, on Lin Hart wrote on his friend Reginald F. Lewis, as well as some of Reginald F. Lewis' other books as well. And Why Should White Guys Have All the Fun? I want you to check that out and see it. But he is, man, he was a character that was accomplishing amazing things and a mover and shaker for many individuals who are underrepresented in the corporate world and also in sales. But we're going to change that. We're going to make things happen. We're selling in color. And our job here, our goal is to make sure that other people who look like us know about the opportunities that are out there. We can accomplish great things. We don't have to beg for a piece of the pie. We can go out and create that our own pie. And we're going to make that happen. Want to help you. Thank you so much for being here. Please subscribe. Please share this with your friend. As always, I want to encourage you to go out and take advantage of that. Go get what's yours. Let's make it happen. Have a good one. I appreciate you listening to this episode today. There are many different things you could be doing, but you took the time to listen to this podcast. And for that, I'm truly grateful. If you haven't done so already, go ahead and leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this show. Our show is produced by TSC Studios. Our audio engineer is Jershon Obeil. Artwork and video was designed by the one and only Destin Cunado. Our show note was created by Jake Ligmanowski. Our podcast production manager is Nancy Paul. You can find audio credits to each of our music inside of the show notes. And I'm your host, your coach, your guide down the sales journey, Mr. Donald C. Kelly, the sales evangelist.